Week's parsha, Parshas Kisisa, has one of the times where the Torah mentions the mitzvah to observe the Shabbos, and the Torah says in two different places: "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe leimor, ve'ata daber al bnei Yisrael leimor, acha shabsosai tishmoru. You should make sure to be shomrei Shabbos, ki osi beini uveinechem ledorosechem ladas. In order that you should all know, why do we keep Shabbos? It is in order that we should know." Ki ani Hashem mekadeshchem, that I am the one, I am the God who has sanctified and elevated all of you. And similarly, we find v'shamru v'nei Yisrael as haShabbos, another pasuk where we're told that we have an obligation to be shomrei Shabbos. Now, it's unusual that the Torah here refers to keeping Shabbos and observing Shabbos as someone who is shomer Shabbos. We don't call somebody a shomer hatfilin, somebody who wears tefillin. We don't say that somebody who sits in the sukkah is a shomer hasukkah. So, what does it mean to be a Shomer Shabbos, that you observe the laws of Shabbos? Why does the Torah choose this terminology, Vishamru v'nei Yisrael as haShabbos? Or like we said, Achav Shabsosai Tishmoru. What's that all about? So the Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Kisisa picks up on this unusual choice of words, and he says the following, a very beautiful insight. Why is it that the Torah says, specifically when it comes to Shabbos, that you have to be a Shomer Shabbos, Es Shabsosai Tishmoru, Vishamru v'nei Yisrael, writes the Arachayim HaKadosh, Al derech omro ve'aviv shamares hadavar. The way to understand what is the definition of a Shomer Shabbos is what we find the usage of the word of Shmira by Yaakov and his son, by Yosef and his father Yaakov Avinu. It says, ve'aviv shamares hadavar. What does that mean? It means Yaakov Avinu heard that there was some tension with his family. V'aviv shamaras hadavar, Yaakov Avinu was patiently waiting to see what would happen. That's what shamar means there. Pirush. What does it mean here to be a shomer Shabbos? It means mamtin umitzape masayavo. To be a shomer Shabbos, it's a big misnomer. People think it means not to do anything wrong. Wrong, says the Arachayim. A shomer Shabbos means somebody who is mamtin umitzape masayavo, who waits with anticipation for when the Shabbos will actually come. And he says, what the Torah means to instruct us by saying this choice of word of Vishamru v'nei Yisrael and as Shabsosai Tishmaru is, Letzavo shalo yiyah haShabbos kedavar toreach. Shabbos should not be for us as something which is a big hassle, which is a big hurdle, but rather tzrichim l'smach bo b'shleimus haratzon v'tamid yiyah mamtin u'mitzapeh maseyavo. A person should always wait with great anticipation and longing for when Shabbos will actually come. Writes the Arachayim HaKadosh, that's why we refer to it as a Shomer Shabbos. It means the person who not just keeps whatever they have to do, all the mitzvahs and the averus that they have to abstain from on Shabbos and have to observe throughout the duration of Shabbos. It's so much more than that. It's the perspective that we have all week when we look forward to the day of Shabbos that we have the opportunity to spend with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Balei Musar explain this concept of being a Shomer Shabbos, of anticipating, by giving the following mashal. So they say, Taru la'atzmechem, imagine if you can just picture in your minds that you have elderly parents who live in some other community and they want to come visit you for Shabbos. Now they don't drive, they don't have the ability to drive anymore, but they're going to take a train to get to your house. So they take the train and they say, we're going to get in at around 6 o'clock. We're taking that train that gets in at around 6, so you'll meet us by the train station, v'hinei. Sof kol sof acharei haderech ha'aruka she'avru, after they go through this very exhausting trip, and they are very tired when they get there, hey magiim, finally they get there, and they start looking around, they get off the train, and there's nobody there. No family members there to wait for them. And they're surprised. You know, after all, we made up that we were coming for Shabbos, we told them that we were going to come visit, we made the long trip all the way from some other community, and now here we are at the train station, we don't know where the family members are. So they wait a few minutes to see, are any grandchildren here, are any children there? And they notice that there's just nobody here. It just so happens to be, they don't have cell phones, and they don't have the app, and they don't know how to get anywhere, so they start flipping through their papers to find, do we even have the address written down somewhere? Maybe at some point our child told us where he lives. We've never paid attention. And finally, one of them finds the address somewhere in his phone book there, and he tells a taxi, he hails down a taxi, and he asks him, can you bring me to this and this address? Is it close by? He says, yeah, it's a 20-25 minute drive. Happy to take you there. He brings them there, pays the taxi, and finally, after they get there, he, you know, jumps out of the taxi, he stands out, he sees the windows are open to his child's home, and he calls into the window. He says, you know, it's Bubby, it's Zadie, it's Grandma, it's Grandpa, we're here. And there's no response. And he goes again and he starts knocking on the windows. Is anyone here? You know, you missed us by the train and we took a taxi, but finally we're here. Aren't you excited? And somebody calls down from upstairs, you know, we're all getting ready. We're all in the shower. I'm sorry, you'll have to wait a couple of minutes. We're just not prepared right now. You can go inside. This is the code. And you can wait downstairs. So he says, can you imagine? How would parents feel? It's a, you know, it's a comical scene, but I'm sure it's happened. How would parents feel? They would say, we've made the trip, and we're so exhausted, and it seems that our children and our grandchildren just don't care to have us here. If they cared enough, somebody would have been waiting there, and somebody would have made sure that we were taken care of. And even if they couldn't make it because everyone was at work, they would have sent somebody to pick us up. You make sure to arrange whatever has to be done when a special guest is coming to town that you really care about. And the Bali Musar say, if one time after another they see that this is the kind of reception that they get, when they come to their children's home for whatever occasion it might be, at some point they're going to say, they just don't want us. We're not going to come anymore. Because they make it clear by the kind of reception that they give us that this is just not a priority to them, that this just doesn't mean enough to them. And therefore the Acharonim say, the Bali Musar writes, Shabbos Kodesh Nechneses Lebatenu. We're not surprised that every week happens to be that the seventh day of the week, Shabbos comes around. This is, should not be a surprise to anybody. And they say, "Va'anachnu asukim," and we're busy. What are we busy with? And we're still taking the showers, and we're still setting the table, and we're still running around, and this one's still at work, and this one's stuck on 878, and everyone's all over the place, and nobody is ready for Shabbos that they knew was coming. This is not a surprise to anybody. We made up in advance. Hashem Yisbarach Magia Lebatenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God Himself, comes to visit our homes. Umotze Osanu, and how does He find us? He comes to the train station and he sees nobody's waiting for him. He stands outside of our homes and he calls into the windows and he sees nobody's interested. We're busy doing 100 other things. If this was a priority, the Bali Musar write, if this was something that meant as much to us as it should, then obviously we would make sure to do our utmost to usher in the Shabbos the way it is supposed to be done. And they write as well that perhaps this is the reason why we say Shir HaShirim on Erev Shabbos. There are many who have a beautiful minhag that they say Shir HaShirim. What's that all about? Because if you read through Shir HaShirim, you'll notice the descriptions that the psukim give about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how much that is meant to mean to all of us and to the Ribono Shel Olam himself. It's like the relationship that we have, kaviyachol, with any relative that we care a lot about and we care enough about. How much preparation will we do to make sure that that relative is going to be comfortable? How much will we go out of our way to make sure that person understands they really are welcome in our homes? And therefore we say Shir HaShirim to show this is all about the relationship. It's all about how much we love the Ribono Shel Olam, how excited we are at the onset of Shabbos to actually welcome him into our homes, and how much we anticipate spending the rest of the day together with the Ribono Shel Olam and getting as much out of it as we possibly can. It is not a coincidence that on Erev Shabbos we say Shir HaShirim. This is something that just highlights the caring and the sensitivity and the thoughtfulness and the feeling that we have toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, toward this very special guest that we bring into our homes every single Shabbos. Writes the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that is what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos. Why does the Torah use this ambiguous lashon? V'shamru v'nei Yisrael as haShabbos? Why does it say, Es Shabbosai Tishmoru? It's such a strange choice of words. It should say, Es Shabbosai Ta'asu? You should do the mitzvahs. Or it should say that you should stay away, you should abstain. What does it mean to be Shomer as haShabbos? Writes the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, it is al derech ve'aviv shamaras hadavar. It's what we find by Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu stood by and he waited and he anticipated and he was watching to see how would things play out. And that is exactly the responsibility of a Jew when it comes every Erev Shabbos. To be a Shomer Shabbos means to be a person who anticipates with a longing, who understands the incredible gift that we have of the Shabbos and how the Ribono Shel Olam knocks at our door and waits to see the reaction and the response that we are supposed to have to that experience of Shabbos. Rav Soloveitchik has a very beautiful essay in one of his books in English. And here he writes about what the image of Shabbos is really about. So I was reminded of it because once I saw here that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh takes us back to Yosef HaTzadik, so I was reminded here that Rav Soloveitchik also draws another parallel between Yosef HaTzadik and Shabbos. And it's probably not the piece that you're thinking of. You're probably thinking of Rav Soloveitchik as a description about his mother, about the Jewish mother, and how she used to usher in the Shabbos, and how she waited for it, and how anticipated, you know, how excitedly anticipating they were to look forward to Shabbos. That's a different piece. But here Rav Soloveitchik writes something which I think is not as well known, but it's a remarkable piece. And he says, if you look carefully at the two dreams of Yosef HaTzadik, what were the dreams that Yosef had that he shared with his brothers. Two very different dreams, and both of them went in very different directions. Writes Rav Soloveitchik that really what this was about was, one of the dreams was a material economic power of prosperity, of opulence, and the vision that came true 100%. Yosef has a dream that at some point he's going to be wealthy, and he's going to have lots of riches, and he's going to be popular and famous, and that's exactly what happened. That was the dream that he had, and that is exactly what took place. The second dream that he had, the other dream apparently revolved around his spiritual greatness, a heavenly sweep and heavenly grandeur. Yosef HaTzadik has a vision about the stars and the sun and the moon and all the galaxies, and that's what he sees, and that, says Rav Soloveitchik, is really to highlight his spiritual interest in life. And writes Rav Soloveitchik that this was the kind of life that Yosef HaTzadik lived. Can one person combine both of these qualities? Can one person fulfill both of these dreams? The dream on the one hand of the wealth, of the opulence, of the economic and military power, of being that person who is so successful, and on the other hand, the same time being the same personality who also dreams about the spiritual greatness, the moral heights, and the communion with God. And he says, this was the tension going on in Yosef HaTzadik's life. On the one hand, he has a she'ifa. He has something that he dreams for in his life, that he wants to be somebody who's successful and who's powerful and who contributes to society in a meaningful way. And on the other hand, he says, I want to be the Shemesh V'Yareach, the Kochavim. I want to have lofty aspirations for how it is that I'm going to contribute spiritually, for how it is that I'm going to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real way. Is that something that a human being is able to accomplish throughout the lives that they live? And he writes that apparently Yosef HaTzadik taught us that you're able to do both. And he says poetically that perhaps this is what the Ksonas Pasim was all about. Why did he have a coat that was all full of all these colors? Because a person who lives that kind of life, if there are many colors, there are also many contradictions. Colors clash with one another, and Yosef was the synthesis of all of this. Yosef HaTzadik figured out how to put together all of his colors, how to live that seamless, perfect life, and have the dreams and aspirations on the one hand of all the power and the prowess that he would have, and on the other hand to be a person who always had his mind and his vision toward the spirituality that he was able to attain in his life as well. And Rav Soloveitchik goes on to develop that, and then he says, the Jews throughout history have imitated Yosef. This is the dichotomy. This is the tension that we've been dealing with as Jews for all eternity. This is what we're about. We always have two visions, he says. On the one hand, we always want to be successful and prosperous and economic, and we always want to be people who are contributing to society in a real way. And that's something that the Jewish people have always been able to do. At the same time, he said that the Jew is a good merchant, he's a skillful in his trade, but the Jews always dreamt of sheaves, but otherwise, they could not have survived. If we would not have looked out for ourselves economically, we never would have been able to survive. Who else was taking care of us? But at the same time, he writes, the Jew, the small merchant, the grocer, the peddler, would always come home for Shabbos. And that person was always able to put all of that aside and say, you know, Shabbos is the time to actually remind myself of the aspirations that I have in my other dream, in my other kind of life. And as Jews, we're always expected to have this multicolored lifestyle, this Ksonas HaPasim, that on the one hand we have a dream that pushes us in one direction, but on the other hand, as Jews, we are expected to always make sure that that jives with the dream that will push us to the lofty aspirations spiritually that we are expected to attain. And that, writes Rav Soloveitchik, is the gift that we afforded every single week when we experience Shabbos. Shabbos is the opportunity for us to look away from one of the dreams that we have, not to ignore it, but to suppress it a little bit and say, you know, now is the time for me to focus a little bit on the dream that I have in the other part of my life, on the dream that is going to push me toward that spiritual reality. And that is what we mean when we say, V'shamru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. Do Klal Yisrael have the opportunity to look forward to that day when we're going to put everything else aside and say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time for us to once again reconnect with that which we look forward to building in our relationship with you. It's part of the dream that we have as a people. It's part of the dream that we have as human beings and as individuals. But it's something that we can make an actual reality every single week of our lives when we come to Shabbos and we have the opportunity to remind ourselves of how special a time it really is meant to be.